Hey everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the dirty one himself, Rich Stambolian.
Ooh, bang, 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 bang. A notorious bootlegger and moonshiner in the house from 1923.
I'm Andrew Zarian, and here's the news. Notorious bootlegger Richard Stambolian was arrested. His accomplice, Horny Harry Tarjanian, is still on the loose. More at 11. This show's all about professional wrestling, and of course, the misdeeds of Horny Harry Tarjanian are our sixth guy on the mic here on the show, and of course, Rich Stambolian. It's been a fun week for professional wrestling, fun couple of weeks for wrestling. Actually, I want to say this whole summer's been wacky. I think Cody leaving AEW kind of like shifted the balance of everything in wrestling.
Folks went a little nuts.
Everybody's gotten a little nuts, but man, you know... It is a exciting time to talk about this. It's an exciting time to cover this. I watched Monday Night Raw in its entirety for the third straight week.
Yes. Yes, man.
So like, did this, you. I mean, we've been watching it.
Bizarre. Like, I watched this week's Raw, and I was like, holy shit, it's 11 o'clock. It's over. This is like, I felt it was like a milestone. I was oddly proud of myself.
It's a lot of wrestling, obviously, to 3 hours. We're going to talk about Raw, obviously, because there's a lot to talk about with the changes happening. We had a big weekend. We had SummerSlam. We had Ric Flair's retirement. A lot is going on. Returns. People are showing up. So where do you want to go, Rich? Let's kick this off.
Let's talk about SummerSlam. This past Saturday was SummerSlam. It was actually a fun show. Roman Reigns retained both championships, beating Brock Lesnar in what could be... what could be described as a pretty bonkers last man standing match. How do you personally feel about farmer man Brock Lesnar?
I like this version of him. I do. I'm kind of into it. It's so different than what he's done in his entirety of his career. The only closest thing I could think of when he was feuding with Eddie and he was like a little looser. Listen, man, he's comfortable. He doesn't give a shit about anything. He's doing what he wants to do. He doesn't, he's hit a point in his career, in his life, where he just does what he wants. And I think it works. I like this farmer Lesnar thing. Saskatchewan's own Brock Lesnar. This match was bonkers. I enjoyed it. I really much liked it. And, you know, I have to tell you, I've been asking the kids in the family what they think.
Yeah.
Right? Like all my friends' kids and kids, you know, like cousins and stuff, they love this like crash test dummy spectacle. And really, I think a lot of this for this match, it came from how successful that Jackass match was.
Oh yeah, for
sure. As far as optics and how it looks, obviously they didn't have a 5-star match, you know. But my God, it was a fun match. People are really into it, and I mean, I think this is good. This is healthy. You're incorporating something different in a last man standing match. And, you know, this is like the 18th time they've had this match, and it was very different than anything else that they've done. So I think they got the point across. I think it was a very successful event for them.
Yeah, for sure. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think Farmer Brock is like the classic wrestling trope where somebody backstage at some point was like, Brock, what do you want to do? And he was like, I want to be a real badass hillbilly Jim. And then boom, this guy shows up.
He has to start dancing again. He has to do like the thigh slaps and everything. Brock Lesnar used a tractor to lift the ring at one point in the match. It was a total disaster, I guess. Yeah. You know, you would call it. We're gonna skip through some of the show. We're just gonna do the highlights because I'm sure you guys have heard every possible take on this.
Right.
I enjoyed the match. I thought it was a fun match. There was a failed cash-in attempt by Austin Theory.
Yep.
There were the Usos came out and kicked Brock Lesnar's butt a little bit. Brock Lesnar returned. It is interesting how Brock Lesnar has no friends either, right? I mean, he's actually one of the few that I could understand not having any friends in the company.
I wish they did a bit where it was a little more psychological, where they show him backstage and he's like, man, I really got to start being nice to people.
And he starts like pandering to everybody.
And he starts trying to like make friends. Like, he tries to make friends with the Street Profits, and it's really awkward.
So I thought it was a good match. Brock Lesnar lost to Roman Reigns. Roman retained. He is now champion for over 700 days.
Bonkers, dude.
So I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could do here, right? WWE is big on modern history, right? And let's go into this a little bit, because I don't know when we'll have an opportunity to talk about this. When you look at the championship rankings, right, like how many days somebody has been champion, it is astoundingly taken over by the older generation, because title reigns were a lot longer. I don't think anybody's going to beat Bruno's whatever it is. You know, how many days? 15 million days straight as world champion?
Yeah, yeah.
MG, if you could send me a link to that. Our producer, Matt, he's here. He can't read or write, just to let you guys know. Purposely. He chooses not to read or write. Not that he has any kind of, you know, disabilities. He just chooses not to be able to read or write. Can you do me a favor? Can you find...
it's the hill he dies on.
It's the hill that he will die on. I'm not gonna read. I'm just gonna mess up everything. Can you find like the most days straight concurrently as champion for me? Thank you. You know, they kind of want to change that a little bit, right? Like, wouldn't it be good for their history and like telling the greatest of all times? It's like, look, bro, this guy had the title for 1,000 days. I could see them. I could see Roman holding the title for 1,000 days. What's
as
another
long as they
year?
Make it entertaining.
Yeah, you know, what's another year? As long as you make it entertaining, I don't think people care.
Yeah.
But you have created a guy that is untouchable and unbeatable. You know, we were talking about that Brock Lesnar. Who's going to be the guy that dethrones Brock Lesnar? I think if the pandemic had not happened, it would have been Drew. But really, the reality, it's Roman. Roman's always been the answer.
For sure. For sure. And you know what? Like, I'm not... part of me is not sick of these matches, right? Like, it's classic pro wrestling, classic WWE pro wrestling, where it's like two big attractions colliding with each other. And do you think they painted themselves in a corner with Roman at this point, or is the payoff going to be something completely wild?
Yeah, I would hope that the payoff is something completely wild. I would love to, like, I go back and forth. Like, I'm one of these people that says I reserve to write the flip flop. Okay.
Okay.
I deserve the right to flip flop. I change my opinion depending on the day, depending on the week. That's it's entertainment. Right. You're allowed to do this. We're not changing fundamental values here.
Yeah.
I thought for a while they had put Roman, I should say, in a corner with the booking because you know, he has both titles. You don't have multiple title defenses, right? He's not really defending it too often. This is this very special moment. They've made the title defenses mean something. However, some people could complain and say you're not getting enough of it. I don't know. I think Roman's booking has been the best that they've ever done since... I'm trying to think, who have they booked this strong, this consecutively... and it's worked to this extent, right? Like, we know that the Roman project failed as a babyface with the Shield stuff, right? Because it was, again, it suffered from that Cena getting shoved down your throat idea. But
there you go, Cena. It's Cena, right?
What is Cena? What's Cena?
You were saying, like, who was booked this strongly? Like,
strongly, and I guess Cena has a flaw for me. And the flaw is he was booed. And he wasn't booed because he was bad or people liked to boo him. He was booed because people genuinely did not want to see that character. There were people that were like, this guy's killing the industry.
Yeah.
Right? For them, like, it was strange, but I never had that towards Cena. Like, I think Cena was pushed heavily. I think Cena should have turned at one point. It would have you would have had a Roman factor here, for sure. Cena got hot when he had a little bit of edge with the rap gimmick.
Yeah.
So with Roman, I can't think of someone that they have booked this strong consecutively. I don't know. Maybe Hogan, you know, this is another experiment. I can't think of a champion that they have had that has had this strong of a positive run, babyface or heel, in a very long time. The chat room, I'm sure, could give me some names. I can't think of anything right now off the top of my head.
It's smart booking. It's interesting booking also. And I think, you know, before Cody got hurt, I think they were going in the same direction with him, because Cody hot out of the gate with very, very strong and determined booking, right?
Dude, how about Cody? Like, throwing an idea. Like, we're both fans of Cody's, obviously. I'm a fan of Roman. This version of Roman for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, is Cody the guy? Do you have Cody be the guy that dethrones? Is Cody that, like, what would that do to Cody? Would it elevate him even more?
Yes, absolutely. I think so. Because it's that childhood dream story, right? Where he's the son of the plumber.
And his father never did it. He never got that title.
His brother never did it.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got that, just it writes itself. You don't have to do anything extra to that story. You know, it's there. Now, I want to ask you this. It was on my mind at the start of the show. Now that Triple H is in charge of creative, how do you personally feel? Do you think at some point when Cody comes back, he's going to be like, hey, bud, listen, take a sledgehammer to my chair? I don't think so.
No, I think he's going to be totally, he knows what he has. You know, he knows the importance of that optics battle with AEW to making Cody mean something big. I think everybody in that company realizes how important it is. Let's continue on here. I want to get through SummerSlam quickly. This was a nice little detour we took. Bianca Belair defeated Becky Lynch. Becky separated her shoulder during the match after Becky did the Hulk Hogan and Rock segment. Nobody has drawn that comparison. I, why am I the only one that saw that? At the end, Becky Lynch looked like she was 100 years old because she did the Hogan thing. And it's such an amazing story of body language, right? Hogan came into that match with The Rock looking jacked to the gills. It's Hulk Hogan, you know?
Yeah, he was Hulk Hogan.
A carved out piece of leather. Beautiful.
Oh, for sure.
One of those, you know, he does all of it. At the end of the match, he's this old, defeated man doing this.
Yeah.
And you know what? We saw it. They did the same exact handshake between Becky and Bianca. And I thought it was fantastic.
Yes.
They told you the story of, you know, this is the old guard and the new guard. And this is, Becky was the best of the best. But here's Bianca. She's a little younger. She's quicker. They told that story.
Way to put the shine on Bianca too. Like,
very good
job.
She's
come such a long way from NXT, and we used to drag her years ago.
I didn't like the blue lipstick.
You know, it wasn't even the lipstick. I think it was like, we always felt like that those earlier NXT matches, it was too choreography and she was just performing it. Now, she's next level, and you know, we were rightly corrected. Like, she is fantastic. I watched that segment with my wife on Monday, and she was like, there's something, my wife who does not care for pro wrestling, there is something about Bianca Belair that kind of transcends, like, it's like you don't even care that it's pro wrestling, you just want to see this person.
Yeah, because she has an ability to connect with people, and sometimes some people just have that, some people don't, you know, like, there's so many people in wrestling that you're like, my God, this guy was so good. How come he just didn't have that connection? You know, sometimes you just don't, you don't have that ability. So here's the cool part. At the end of the match, Bayley showed up along with Dakota Kai and Io Shirai. Now Io Sky.
So good.
Debuted a new faction. So this is going to play a part, obviously, in everything that's going on with the women's division. I think this is a great addition. Dakota Kai and Io Shirai are fantastic. Bayley's fantastic. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
This was the match that shocked a lot of people. Logan Paul delivered beyond any expectation in his second match. You know, it's very easy with a celebrity match to put on a really good first match. You practice.
Yeah.
The second match is not always better. He put on a freaking showing. This guy, he is big. He is in great shape. He's athletic. He's very quick. Like, you know, I know a lot of people don't like him personally.
Great on the mic.
Natural heel, but I know they're pushing him as a babyface. I think now, like, he can be a babyface because he's so good.
Yeah.
I think he surprised people. I have to tell you, man, You know, this is everything that they've ever wanted. They love that celebrity crossover. This is a mega celebrity in a key demo that they are losing a touch with.
Yes.
Right?
Do you
13 to 22 years old or 15 to like 25? That's a big demo for them to capture.
Do you think they consider him, why they're putting him with the Miz? Do you think they consider him like almost like a super Miz, right? Because Miz came from that reality show background. And this Miz was like,
yeah, that's that was a connection there.
Yeah, like pre-streaming, pre all that stuff. Like Miz was that guy at one point, but without, I think, the heavy fan following, right?
I don't know. I don't know like why the Miz was teamed up. Maybe that could be the exact reason. I don't know. But I thought it was a good pairing, and I think the Miz is a... Yeah, I think it is the crossover with mainstream. I think a little bit has to do with that, for sure. But
yeah,
I thought Logan Paul put on an unbelievable match.
Surprising.
Far exceeded. Like, everybody has told me that he's, like, unbelievably good. Like, throughout this whole process of, like, even him training prior to this, everybody was saying, like, oh, no, he's really good. He's really good. He's really good. I mean, this was a great example. I mean, Bad Bunny put on a great showing, but not like this.
Did Logan Paul take Bad Bunny's spot?
As far as this, well, yeah, I guess so. Like, I don't think, is Bad Bunny an athlete? I don't, not that I know of. Is Logan Paul an athlete? Yeah, absolutely. Like, he's a tremendous athlete. He did. So here, we're going to get to this match after this, but he made Pat McAfee look not so great in the ring.
Okay.
You know, you had two like specialty matches.
Yeah.
I think Logan looked better than Pat.
I think Pat's having a different kind of fun.
He said that it wasn't his best match. I think Pat actually, you know, he admitted, he's like, yeah, I could have done better in that match. Something was off. Listen, it happens. Edge returned with a modified Brood theme.
Ooh, chills.
His hair is much shorter. Kind of looks like DDP from behind with the short hair.
Right.
All right, he's back, you know, and he was on Raw also, which was cool. Pat McAfee defeated Happy... Oh, sorry, Rich. Go.
No. I was going to say, like, that entrance really does it for me. It's such a visual spectacle. Like, when we were at SummerSlam last year, and they wheeled the staircase out, I think both of us were like, yo, what's going on with that? And then seeing Edge pop out of it with the flames...
Very cool.
That's gold.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Pat McAfee defeated Happy Corbin. I don't think this was Pat's best match that he's had, but I thought it was a fun match that they had. Continued their feud. Liv Morgan retained over Ronda Rousey in a very controversial finish. They gave them like 4.5 minutes with this match. They cut the time by like half. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it was what it was.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird to say as a wrestling fan and a wrestling analyst where it's Ronda Rousey and you're saying it was what it was with this match, right? Isn't that, it should be the opposite, right? Shouldn't we be hailing her matches as much as we just praise Logan Paul?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Along with Liv's matches.
Yeah.
You know, Liv's a champion. She should be having these great matches, not a 4-minute match. So this led to Ronda attacking the ref and Morgan. She's now suspended via storyline. Kane came out to announce there were 500,000 people in the building.
So silly.
WrestleTix said that, you know, this was the best part. So we were in that group chat that we have, right? The production chat. And I was like, at one point, somebody said like, oh, how many people are there? And I think WrestleTix had reported like 39,000. And then they revised it to like 40,000. WrestleTix says that the number was 40,117. They announced early on that they had around 40,000 people. Then they said they had 40,000 people. Then they said they had more than 40,000 people. Kane finally announced 48,448. So there was 8,000 people more in the building. According
he counted all of them by hand. That's why. He was patting everybody on the head.
40,117, 40,120, 48,400. That's how he counts.
Didn't he just deliver some kind of mayoral speech, put his mask on, and then chokeslam somebody?
Is that what he did?
I think so.
No, I don't think he chokeslammed. Oh, maybe a few weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, I think he did something as the mayor, put his mask on, and then somebody came out, and he chokeslammed a dude through a table, like, in front of his constituents. It was like, bananas.
Bananas. Saturday, let's talk about this Flair thing. You want to talk about Flair?
Sure. Sure.
The card was pretty fun. Yes. I enjoyed the card. Do you have... I don't know if you put the card in the notes. Maybe I'll go back to that. But I enjoyed the card. I thought it was a fun show. It was a lot of fun to see Crockett back. Conrad put on a great event. Mm-hmm. You know, all weekend he put on a lot of stuff. Even Starcast had a wrestling match. I don't know if you saw that. There was a promo that happened at Starcast. Did you see that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a thing that happened at Starcast. I don't know if you saw that.
What happened at Starcast?
I don't know. I a lot of rumors. I heard that there was a Sean Ross Sapp got into a thing. A lot of stuff happened at Starcast.
Was that Conrad really a thing it. Though? Yeah, it's Conrad booked that whole thing.
It's all a war. Conrad booked the whole thing, man. Conrad booked that whole thing. Brilliant.
Andrew, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Is the bizarreness of wrestling starting to permeate
into reality
to us podcasters, where if you and I go somewhere, are we going to have to deal with somebody trying to throw, like, for example, like a live chicken at us or some shit like that?
You know what? I would love that. Please throw, you know what? Potatoes. Bring your potatoes.
No, I don't want to get pelted by potatoes.
Yeah. Rich wants to get pelted by rustics.
Potato chips, baby.
Potato chips.
You know what I hate? Pringles. What? Fuck Pringles.
I'm not. It's not real. Pringles are not real. It's like puree that they dry.
Pringles stink. You want to go through this card real quick?
Yeah.
So you had the Von Erichs, Marshall and Ross versus Dem Boys, the Briscoes.
That was booked by mistake.
Because wasn't the rumor.
Wait
that
a minute.
Saw.
Wait yeah. a minute. This isn't the Briscoes. This isn't the Von Erichs. Who are these people?
Hysterical. Clark Connors and Ren Narita. That was fun.
Fun, yeah.
Killer Cross and Harry Smith. Also fun. You had the triple threat with Rachel Ellering, Jordan Grace, and Deonna Purrazzo. Josh Alexander and Jacob Fatu. You know what? Really enjoyed it. I think Josh Alexander, I want that guy to be a crossover wrestler. You know, like I would love him to show up if Impact and AEW still had some kind of relationship. I would like that to happen. You know, just
by
imagine.
The way, Ren Narita did not face Clark Connors. That match was canceled.
Okay.
Clark is hurt. Who did he face? Unimura.
That may have been when I left, so I missed it completely, or whatever it was. How hard would you pop, right?
Yeah.
For a Josh Alexander triple threat, Josh Alexander versus Claudio versus Moxley.
Oh, fantastic match. Yeah, he's so good. Josh Alexander's really, really good. Unfortunately, a lot of people are missing him on Impact, but he's so good.
Mm-hmm. You had Rey Fénix and Taurus, Laredo Kid and Bandido. The Wolves versus the Motor City Machine Guns, and arguably one of my favorite matches, Kerry and Ricky Morton versus Pillman Jr. and Brock Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I got to tell you, this was a nice Pillman to see, a little bit of edge on Pillman.
Yeah, I think he could be that red hot baby. You know, he's getting wider, he's getting thick, you know, like he's starting to develop a little more of an adult charm, you know, kind of like what we're seeing in Jungle Boy a little bit.
Jungle Boy's just becoming a sociopath, just running people over now.
Love it. And your main event, Ric Flair and Andrade versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Jeff Jarrett is everywhere, man.
Okay. Let's talk about this match, okay?
Please.
They went almost 27 minutes. This was not the same Ric Flair in those training videos, right? Because we know he's hurt. He hurt his foot. He did not look great, okay? He had a couple moments. He did the chops. He did this. He did that. I did not... You know, like, I talk about the anxiety I had as a child for that 92 Rumble.
Yeah.
This
totally out...
Like, I felt that that's same anxiety times 10.
This is the legitimate anxiety.
This was the legitimate anxiety, yeah. Mm. You know, he tried, man. And I have to tell you, Jeff Jarrett was the most impressive one in that all that thing. Andrade looks like $1 million, obviously. Jay Lethal, too. I mean, the ability those guys have is unbelievable. But Jeff Jarrett, 50-something years old, looks fantastic. He's in great shape. He yep. worked great. What a heel. Holy moly. So it did not come off as much on TV, but I know people that were there. That building wanted to, like just annihilate Jeff Jarrett. They were going at it with him. I mean, he is such a good heel, unlikable, unbelievable. Flair was bleeding all over the place. He did a fake heart attack spot. Did you see that?
Yes.
On the outside. So he's like holding his chest by his family, holding yeah. his chest as this man is already like, you could see that he's not doing well. So perfect time is to fake a crisis. And Jay Lethal comes over and he goes, boop, poke to the eye.
Quick side yeah. note from our very own Horny Harry, the horny one.
Yeah.
He says, my girlfriend during the match said, you look worried. I said, that's because I am.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable. My children are losing their mind. Do you hear them screaming outside of my
no,
door?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. Because I hear them.
You didn't feed them today, right?
No. that's why. They're revolting. They're revolting right now. There's a mutiny happening.
You can't say your kids are revolting.
They're revolting. No. Like, not revolting like ugly. Revolting mm-hmm. like a revolution. There's a revolt happening. Yeah, so at the end, you know, Flair took a suplex. It was supposed to be a delayed one. Actually, he wanted to take it from the top. I think that was the original spot. Like, he wanted to take a second rope suplex. And I think Jay Lethal was like, nah, dude. Get the F down.
You got to control yourself.
And they did the suplex, and he never got up after that suplex, man. He never got up. He mumbled. He, like, said to Andrade, like, he said, I passed out or I'm going to pass out. You could see wow. that he was really, it took him a while to get mm-hmm. back to his feet. And Andrade's doing the best. Like, oh, no, he's fine. He's fine. No, nothing to see here. Like, he, no matter how much he smiled, you could see that in it, the concern was still there. Listen, man, he did it. He did his last match. It's over.
Is it?
I tweeted, I never want to see this match again. I never want to see it again. Ever. I won't watch it. I don't want to see him wrestle again. I was happy watching it. I was, you know, he got what he wanted. And he's healthy, he's fine, and that's what matters. But I never want to see him have another match.
You don't want to see him have another match. I don't want to see him have another match. That show looked like it did decently, you know, with the card and everything. Like, I didn't expect
over 6,500 people in the building, like 6,800, and their gate right. is the second most grossing gate for any independent, you know, event. Outside, and you know who's number one? All In. And it only All In had 10,000 people in that building. Remember that, right? 10,000 people in that All In building. They had 6,800. All In did 400. I think it was like only like $10,000 or $20,000 more than this event did. If
That's
I were to take
wild.
An intelligent guess, if I'm going to guess something, I would expect Crockett to run all these StarCasts.
I don't know if you were on the same page, but I did not expect this kind of production value. And
very good job.
Just,
yeah.
They did a great job. Now, that being said, do you think there's going to be the plus one to kind of make up for the ending of this one? You know,
No.
You think it's done? You think it's over?
Yeah. I think it's over. I think it should be over. I know it was a collective as far as the people involved to put this together. Mm-hmm. They had very good production. I would expect Jim Crocker Promotions to run all these StarCasts. I there's no reason not to. And they could do 5,000. I mean, listen, they did 6,800 people with Ric Flair's last match, right? I mean, that's a right. big number. They could do 4,000 people. They could do 3,000 people for an event. Put on a really solid main event and do something fun.
Well, that's the thing with this that was very interesting is that clearly in some capacity, Ric Flair is still an excellent draw, right? Like if this was just the card without Ric Flair, how do yeah. you think it would have done?
If this was a card without Ric Flair and it was a cry, I think it would have done well for the first show.
Okay.
6,800, maybe 5,000 people. Because think about it. They piggybacked on SummerSlam weekend, so you already have people that are into it. They were working, you know, it was a StarCast production, so a lot of those people were going to come anyway. I think they would have had a great run with the first show if it was a Jim Crockett Promotions event, you know, JCP. I'm into it, man. I'm into Crockett. I'm into it. Vince McMahon goes back and Jim Crockett returns. Unbelievable.
Isn't that bananas? Yeah. Like, wrestling is so bizarre.
Yeah. Memphis is coming back. USW. Let's bring back everything. WCCW is coming back. AWA.
Does Hogan have one last match?
I really hope he didn't get the itch.
Does Hogan look at the numbers and go, you know what, brother? I got one more in me.
Hogan's back is in shambles. He can't bump. That's the problem. He can't even. Yeah. He can't. Listen, you have a tag match. Put Hulk Hogan in it. All he does is poof, poof, poof. You know, one of these. He doesn't have to do anything. One of these. One of those. One of these. One of these. You know,
he does not have to do anything. He can take on 10 dudes at once. Exactly. Like, if he could puff out, do the ear thing like Carol Burnett, tug on his earlobe, and then maybe one leg drop.
No. He hasn't done the leg drop since 2005.
Maybe one leg until he shatters, and that shatters
2006,
into a million
maybe?
Glass pieces.
It's going to happen. He's going to turn into carbon.
What would you do if you see Hogan's last match and instead of the leg drop, he does like a Jerry Lawler fireball?
What if he does a one-winged Japanese miss?
Oh my god.
I want to see Hulk Hogan attempt a V-trigger. Okay. Let me have this in life. Okay. I just want this in my goddamn life. I want to see Hulk Hogan go out there. Just do a Kenny Omega entrance as like a spoof, and then it's like, I'm going to do a high knee.
guys, if you're out there and you have any one of these customizable video games, please send us your creative wrestler of Hogan, but with Kenny Omega's moveset. red and yellow Hogan, Kenny Omega's moveset. In a heartbeat.
A 450 splash for sure. I want to see that big jump to the outside over the top.
The big swan song, like dive out of the ring.
He is so dense, that man. If he attempted that, he would enter the center of the earth. He would just go straight. The gravitational pull on that man will just bring him to the moment.
Absolutely.
And guess who will be there? Guess who will be in the center of the earth? Jimmy Hart waiting there for him.
Hey, man. What are you doing here?
That's where he lives, by the way. Jimmy Hart does live in the center of the earth. That's 100% true.
I do a Jimmy Hart impression around the house, which my wife is very irritated by, because she knows exactly who it is.
Yeah. Oh, and no, I'm like, I just can't.
Come on, baby.
All right, I close the notes. You got to continue.
So this is going to put me to sleep right now.
Yeah, numbers talk. I could feel it.
You know it. The Raw,
I got
rating,
butterflies in my belly.
Just horny for numbers, man. The Raw rating, 2.23 million. Highest viewership number since the start of the pandemic. The first hour, which I thought was great, was commercial free.
Yes, it was commercial free. I think they're going to continue doing that. I think they're going to have a lot of these like first hour, no commercial stuff going on with Raw now. This is a nice tactic they're taking. I enjoyed Raw. Is it too long? Yes. It is very long. Raw is a very long show. 3 hours is way too much for a weekly wrestling show.
It's been too long for too long.
It's been too long for too long. You know, like, I'm curious with this renewal, right? With the TV renewal going on. If it's like, hey, listen, we're going to give you the same amount of money or maybe a little bit more, but you could go to 2 hours, what they would say. Nick Khan wants 4 hours. He could have 6 hours if he wanted. He wants all of that.
You know, what would you prefer? 1 hour on Peacock and then 9 to 11 on TV?
I'm cool with that. I think that 9 o'clock time is too late now.
Too late for us.
Yeah. Too late. Do that first hour, you know, on, I don't know. It's that third hour, man. Maybe you move. I don't know what you could do. I don't even know anymore.
You don't even have the answers.
I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer what they could do. I don't know what the right thing to do is. Because it's not... The time is going to always play a part in this show, no matter how good it is. The first hour is commercial-free. They also did a bunch of picture-in-pictures. The demo was high. Do you have the demo? I think they were a 0.6 in the demo, which is fantastic. Becky Lynch kicked off Raw, explaining why that her shoulder separated. Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai jumped her backstage. It's not known if she's getting surgery.
Good bit. Like, I really enjoyed that. I think just seeing Bayley back again really brought me a lot of joy. John Canton with a stat in the chat room, 10-year yes. anniversary of 3-Hour Raw was 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So 2012.
Yeah. That's when the world, you know, the Mayans predicted that the world is going to end, and we got 3-Hour Raw.
Maybe that's what they meant.
That's what they meant this whole time. No. It's a cataclysm in professional wrestling by going 3 hours. Not a cataclysm in reality.
Yeah.
Hogan with a 619 Cadillac Carson.
Oh, my God. Hogan with the... Please, somebody, make this and send it to us. We're not going to pay you for it. Just send it to us.
Can he come out like Ray used to come out from the bottom, popping up?
I want one Kenny Omega and one Ray intro where he does the booyaka.
The booyaka, yeah.
Boom. Hysterical.
Yeah, great.
Ciampa wins.
That's all he does. That's what I do to my kids, by the way. When I'm mad at them, I just start breathing out like Hogan. And I go, no.
Why is dad a maniac?
I can't do the big boot on them and then the leg drop. That's terrible. But I do throw them over the top rope onto the outside.
And then you tug on your ear like how?
And then I tug on my ear.
Shall we move on with Raw?
Yeah, please.
Ciampa wins a triple threat match and beats AJ Styles, becoming the new number one contender for the U.S. Championship. He's going to take on Lashley next week. I think this is Ciampa's moment, man. With the with Triple H at the head of that creative table, this is his last guy, right? Besides Seth Rollins, I guess, maybe Kevin Owens. This is like his last like investment, right? Or his latest investment.
I think
Tommaso Ciampa.
I think this is a very night and day program for Ciampa. I think they're really going to want to elevate him. Hold on one second. Something's going on here. Look at this. The Goonies have infected us. This is what I'm seeing on my screen. You guys see that? No.
Hey, what are you talking about?
This.
Oh, holy jeez.
Oh, my God. What's happening?
I think we're going. Are we going into the upside down?
That is how you enter the upside down. I think this was a great show for Ciampa. I mean, they took a guy and they're like, okay, we're gonna strap the rocket to you tonight. And he had a great showing. I think him and Styles had a really good match. Yeah. I hope that program continues between those two. I hope it's not like a one off. I'd like to see these guys in a continued thing. And listen, does he win the U.S. title? Do you put the title on Tommaso Ciampa?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's better for Ciampa than for Lashley. As much as I like Lashley with that belt, I feel like Lashley's talents are better suited for other things, you know, like who does Lashley feud with? You know, like he's always been an interesting persona, right? And I feel like a lot of feuds wouldn't work for Lashley.
Are you saying for Lashley or for Ciampa?
No, for Lashley. I think Ciampa, like AJ Styles, could fit into any feud and match. But for Lashley, he's such a unique thing that he needs something that would put, I guess, more of a shine on him. You know,
have
you
seen Lashley and Roman in a title match at all? Have we seen that happen?
You know, that's a good question. Like, I feel like we've been semi-lax with WWE in the last couple of years that it probably happened on a SmackDown. Or a Raw. And
yeah, but like a big program. I think those, I mean, right now the heavyweight division, we did see that match. Yes, we did. Now I remember.
Okay.
Listen, you put him with the big guys, right? Like, you got to elevate more people. You know, maybe him and Ciampa could have a back-to-back for a couple of weeks. You know, something fun.
That would be cool. But
I think for Ciampa, you know, he has a ton of opponents
to face. Oh, yeah. So, check this out. Ciampa wins next week on Raw, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're in Cleveland next week. Gargano comes out at the end of the match, challenges him for the U.S. title, and you get that back and forth again that Triple H loves. Like, Triple H, I feel like, is such an old school wrestling nerd where he's like, well, you guys did this on our version of the indies. Bring it to the main stage and really wow the F out of people, right?
Yeah. I would love to see that. I would love to see that. Chomp on Gargano, if Gargano comes back. I think, you know, that is the question I've been asked all week. I did a Q&A on Twitter two nights ago when I was like really stoned out of my mind. And the most question I got was, what's the story with Gargano? Do you think he'll come back? And my answer is, if there was ever a moment that it's more likely to happen, it's now. You know? And it seems like Hunter really has some freedom with what he's doing.
Do you think Triple H pulled that card that we've heard from a lot of wrestlers when they resign, which is, hey, you got to think about your kid now and your family. Like, we'll take care of you. And then they just unload the truck of money onto Gargano's lap.
I think that Gargano would be... I think Gargano could be a very hot act with a younger viewership for them on the main roster. Right? Because they don't have the smaller guy that's the underdog always. That's right. You know, like at the level of like they can make a Johnny Gargano. You know, Rey Mysterio was that guy for a long time.
Yeah.
Bryan Danielson was the guy for a long time. They've always had that smaller guy that's really a great wrestler and a great underdog, and they don't really beat up constantly. Even when they do, he's still protected. I think Gargano could be definitely that guy that could really appeal to a younger group of viewers.
Absolutely. And there's something fundamentally likable about Johnny Gargano.
Very likable.
And if he comes out next week, let's say, like, for argument's sake, this is a little bit of fantasy booking, but, like, you know, Ciampa wins that U.S. title, Gargano's music hits, does the challenge, and then you see a nice three-match feud, and then they kind of reverse engineer it, and then you end up with Ciampa or whoever losing the title. You get your tag team of DIY back again, and then they're in the tag team mix.
Yeah.
So, it kind of writes itself.
I would love to see DIY. The channel, not the tag team, the DIY channel. I like just like doing stuff around the house, and I put it on.
Aren't you like a gigantic Property Brothers fan?
I'm a huge Property Brothers fan. You know who I like? I like the woman and the husband. They also have a bakery. What's their names?
You know, there's like 40 shows like that.
My wife watches it all the time, and then she gets influenced by them to do.
Oh, because they're influencers.
Because they're influencers, and then I end up having to hang up chandeliers every day.
You ain't the only one, brother.
It's the story of my life. I'm constantly putting up chandeliers. You have no idea. You have no clue. It's like the big joke. Like Andrew's putting up another chandelier. Do you know how many chandeliers we have in this house?
45.
48.
Oh, you got three more?
Chandeliers. I put up, there's like three in each room.
Did you get that gold one you had your eye on?
I had a relative. Did not live in a big house whatsoever, okay? Like a tiny, tiny little house. But they had a taste for luxury, mm-hmm. and luxury had a taste for them.
Interesting.
And they had, and I kid you not, this they insisted, like, they wanted like a grand entrance, mm-hmm. and they had this gigantic, obnoxious chandelier, okay? Everything in the house was gold and crystal,
wow.
okay? Very Persian. Very, very Persian. High class.
Wow.
It was, you know, like, there's like gaudy Italian?
Yes.
Okay? There's gaudy Persian also.
Well, there's very gaudy everything. Persian. There's gaudy everything under the sun.
Gaudy Greek, you make your 100%. House instead of freaking Parthenon. I know 100%. A lot of those guys. Blue paint everywhere and columns. So this house was like a mini Parthenon that they had. Like everything was like columns, and they had this gigantic chandelier. When you enter the house, you had to duck under it. I wish I was exaggerating. You had to duck under the chandelier because they thought they wanted this grand chandelier. Persian.
Like how big was it?
Rich, like if we were in the studio right now, the studio would be
like bumping against my head.
No. The studio would be too big. It would, like, I'm saying, like, they had low ceilings too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I would, you would bump your head. It would be impossible. It would be impossible to survive. Unbelievable. Greek houses are the best. Sincerely, a Greek, says John.
I want to jump on a tangent right now, but I'll tell you after the show.
Okay,
about luxury and fences. No. Like real quick. Sorry if we're gonna bore everybody real quick. There was an article in Vice not too long ago about houses in Flushing and Bayside that have those stainless steel and like silver fences.
Yes.
That is culturally considered a testament to if you made it or not in your life. So but I always
it's a Chinese thing, though, right? I believe it's a Chinese thing.
Chinese, Indian, and a couple of other cultures where you see those silver fences. I always thought, like, what's up with that? But then I read this article, and it was like, no. This is culturally in these different cultures. This is to show people that you've made it in life, and also to show them why haven't you made it in life? You know what I mean?
My fence is made out of hay. I got a hay fence.
It is a pretty interesting fence.
That is very interesting.
It's fascinating. Let's get back to pro wrestling here.
Thank you.
The Usos retain
There's
the tag
no
titles.
Pro wrestling show like this, I'm telling you. There's nothing that exists like this.
Guess what? We're the best. Maron.
Maron.
So the Usos retain the tag titles over the Mysterios. Edge came out for the save, ended up spearing Dominic to end the show.
I want Dominic to have like a goth gimmick.
Yes.
He needs to become spooky.
And just shorten his name to Dom. He comes out like, this is like a leather dominatrix.
Kind of. You know what? And he goes to Ray and he has like this ruby. He's like, you're not my dad. You could do the you're not my dad thing to Ray. I think it might be cool. I'm waiting for that turn. So. I was told that turn was happening like God knows how long ago.
Yeah.
Like it was supposed to happen.
They're over as a team. You know?
Are they?
And people... I think so. I think like Ray and Dominic like work very well, and it's very like it appeals to people's sense of like endearment. It's very heartfelt, you know. It's like you love Rey Mysterio and you want to see him team up with his kid, you know. And then like it's like the last time you saw him, he was on TV with Eddie Guerrero, with the I'm Your Poppy stuff, and a couple of times after that. And now it's like, oh, he's a grown up. He's got shitty tattoos, you know. He's already made some bad decisions, and like you kind of want to see him hang out with his dad. I don't think he needs to turn on him until he gets a little more like gritty, right?
Okay, I'm into that. Yeah. I think it's coming. It has to happen soon.
Yeah,
it has to happen.
Is this the longest we've talked about WWE?
Yes,
in quite some time. It's
we haven't even touched AEW. Yeah, we've done almost an hour, and we haven't even touched AEW or any of the other notes. It says something, right? Mm. It says something. Yeah. Notable changes to the show. The emphasis put on the championships with a great United States title package. Referees had names again. Commentary language has been more relaxed. All new matches. New storylines. Also, I believe wrestling and wrestlers no longer banned. They could say wrestler again.
Great. Can they say belt again?
But I'm sure that... Well, Cody called it a belt, didn't he?
Yeah, but I think that was more tongue-in-cheek, you know?
Yeah. All right, you want to run down this news?
So we got some news here. With Triple H taking over creative, we kind of saw this coming a mile away, and I hope it's true. Sasha Banks and Naomi are rumored to be coming back. Sasha was removed from a celebrity flag football game for the LA Rams.
That game is tonight.
And listen, you know what else is tonight? Rampage. No, SmackDown.
Yes.
WWE SmackDown. So who knows? And also there was like a cryptic tweet, I believed, put out by, was it Russell Votes?
WWE.
The statement?
Yeah, they said something about, someone's making a statement, and then they named Naomi's move also.
So I think it's going to happen. I think, as we saw on Monday also, we were getting a little more of a spotlight on what Triple H has seemed to be working on. You know, pre NXT 2.0, you're getting like Liv, Bayley, Io, Asuka back in business. I think we're going to get Sasha and Naomi again.
Somebody asked me, they're like, why do you think Hunter is so good with the women in that company? Right?
That's a question.
I thought it was a great question. I don't have an answer, but I have to tell you, like, you know, having a daughter really changes your perspective on things. He has three teenage daughters.
Yeah.
He
you know, sometimes you just know how to speak to people differently. I feel very comfortable with, like, having a conversation because I with my daughter, like, I have a very, like, good relationship with my daughter, and I think that improves your relationship with other women, especially later on in life, you know? I think for Hunter, he knows how to speak to people. He knows how to calm a situation. He's not this hothead.
He could be a girl dad.
And he's a girl dad. And I think he knows, like, everybody is different. And I think he understands the importance of women's wrestling and creating this this market for, you know, a group of people that watch wrestling. I mean, there's a ton of women that watch wrestling, and they just didn't have a lot of positive representation. And now, you know, they're unbelievable. Like, it's a total 180 in this company from, you know, 10, 15 years ago with women's wrestling.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Like, you're never going to see a bra and panties match again.
No. And you know what? It's not the place. Is it the place? If the market calls for it, then I'm sure it'll happen. But I don't think that's we're far beyond that.
Far beyond that, which is a good thing. You know, like, the progressiveness as bonkers and bananas as pro wrestling can be, like, WWE has always been good with being progressive. You know, they could have still been doing that stuff for the last 20 years.
And they could enough. They could enough.
You know, I mean, they could have, but then it would be a completely different company, a different experience. They wouldn't have been publicly traded as hard as they could. Didn't their stock go up last week? Also,
stock's been doing well. Yeah, stock's been doing really well. I think this Hunter era is going to fascinating. And I know he's very aggressive about getting it going again. So, very cool stuff. You think Sasha and Naomi show up tonight? Take a guess. Boom.
I'm going to say yeah. I would like to. I'm going to say yes.
I'd like to be wrong, though.
I think it's a good way to end a Friday night show, have two big stars return, you know, especially, like, such fan favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Ric Flair's last match. We spoke about this. It was hard to watch at the end. AEW expands talent relations. So this has been a big problem for AEW. A lot of complaints about communication between the talent and Tony and the company. And I'm glad to see Tony's making a big adjustment here. Madison Rain has been hired as a coach for the women's division. She'll also be wrestling. Sanjay Dutt is now the VP of production and creative coordination.
QT good for Marshall. Him, man.
Yeah.
So good.
So you know what? Sanjay is a really... I've heard very positive stuff about his abilities.
Great mind, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, good
great
mind.
On
very
camera.
Good.
I used to... Oh, man, when TNA used to do those penny pay-per-views, man, he was always one of my favorites to watch.
Those penny pay-per-views were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. You also have Pat Buck, Queens, New York's own Pat Buck. Where is he from, Pat? Is he from Bayside?
I want to say he's from Westchester.
No, he's from Queens.
That.
No, he's from Queens.
Let's do a quick Wikipedia search while you keep talking about Pat Buck.
I think Pat Buck is from Queens. Pat Buck is now VP of Talent Development.
He is from Queens.
He is from Queens. I'm curious where.
It just says Queens, New York.
Fresh Meadows. North Flushing.
You think he's a Fresh Meadows guy?
He could be a Whitestone guy.
I think he's a Bayside guy.
You think he's a Bayside guy?
He might be an Ozone Park guy.
No, I don't think he's an Ozone Park guy. Pat Buck is now VP of Talent Development. Tony Schiavone is now a senior producer and special advisor to talent. So they are getting their talent division organized. This is very much needed. Very, very much needed. And also, QT and Sanjay are on creative.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. AEW Fight Forever is now available for pre-order. The listed date is December 31st. I think that's a placeholder.
Yeah.
It has to be, and I'll tell you why. Why would you release a video game right after Christmas?
Yeah.
Right? Like, okay, Rich, you buy games. You regularly. Do you ever see a release like this happen on December 31st? I think they had to put a placeholder date by the end of the year.
I think within the last 3 years, video game release dates have been absolutely batshit. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a placeholder and the game comes out like President's Day weekend on like a sale or something, you know, like a month and a half later.
Oh, you think it'll come out like in January or February? I'm thinking it might come out before. I'm thinking they should hit the Christmas season.
If they can get the game out without glitches, it would be good on them, you know, yeah. Because I think notoriously in the last few years, games have been released that are just full of bugs. And I can see them not wanting to do that, you know, like just an incomplete game.
So I'm looking at the best seller right now. For the games, they apparently were like the best selling on Amazon right now, for like a video game, for like, you know, their pre-release. They sold a bunch already, but listen, I think I said this a bunch of times and people don't agree with me. The importance of this game being successful for them is huge.
Absolutely.
Joel Pearl said he lives under City Field, pet book.
But
he's a big Doomsday Bunker guy.
This game could have the potential of being the most fun wrestling video game ever made. And I know that's a huge statement, but look at the roster that they're dealing with, right? And not only that, but look at what they could also add with the Forbidden Door stuff, right?
Yeah, like sure.
If they can get this to work, you could have your fantasy Kenny Omega versus Okada match.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Or your Hogan doing Kenny's moves.
Hogan doing Kenny's moves would be great. I would say, like, the importance here, and I'll tell you what. This is my belief, and a lot of people like that I speak to, the video game boom of the 90s, the late 90s, helped pro wrestling. Whether or not it was going to become a super successful thing, I think it would have still grown. But the video game brought a bunch of people that were casual fans from their childhood back into pro wrestling. The WCW games on Nintendo 64, 96, 97, 98 were huge. I don't think people realize, if you didn't live through that, I don't think you realize how important it was for the product. WWE Attitude, that game, WWF Attitude, that came out by Acclaim, that game was terrible, but it was still so much better than what they had done prior, where it created the boom enough so that they went to THQ, and those two games, WCW No Mercy and WWF No Mercy, WWF WrestleMania 2000, set the tone for the product. And it created this big boom with wrestling. It was huge. Can it do that for AEW? I think so.
If the game is fun. The game has to be fun. You had No Mercy, WrestleMania 2000, you know. Those games are awesome. I have very fond memories of being in my college radio station and somebody would bring their PS1 and we would plug in and play SmackDown 2, Know Your Role. And it would be the most PS2. Fun thing. No, PS1.
PS1.
PS1 was SmackDown 2, Know Your Role. And that they introduced like the cage match, like Hell in a Cell, like all this stuff. And then it moved on to like the PS2 versions of that, like Raw versus SmackDown, which were also tons of fun. I think in the last few years, those 2K WWE games were always hit or miss. You know, if AEW can nail that classic feel of those older THQ games, oh my God, like it's going to be friggin' awesome.
Six in our chat room said THQ Nordic, the publisher of the game, has a media showcase on 8/12 where they'll probably show the new trailer, the one that was already leaked, but they're probably going to show some stuff and have a release date. He also said that he's a former GameStop employee and a place order dates are usually set for the last date of the month that they are expected to be released. So, you know what? If it's a December 2020 release, that will automatically, regardless of the game being good or not, give them a huge, you know, financial gain with selling that game.
For sure.
But the game has to be good, right? And it's not a simulation. I think a lot of people are going to look at this as like, well, it doesn't look like it's too cartoonish. It's not a simulation game.
Right.
And I'm glad about it. I don't like the simulation games. I want this to be simple like No Mercy. That's all I want. I want that game back. I want WWF No Mercy just redone every year.
Right, that was my rant
about the game.
That's not a bad platform to base your game on. I think that's what this is, you know, because that game is so much fun. Or, you know, almost like a combination of that and what's the Japanese game called where you can customize everybody?
From the 90s?
No. Well, they keep releasing
Fire Pro.
Yeah, Fire Pro. Like a version of like No Mercy and Fire Pro. that would be kind of ridiculous.
I always found the Fire Pro controls very difficult. I've gotten yelled at by Stevie Richards over this because he loves Fire Pro. And I was like, I just can't do the grapples. I can't figure out the buttons. And he called me an idiot and he hung up on me.
You got to stop playing video games with your elbows, man.
That's the problem. I'm doing this. AEW Dynamite last on, well, today's Friday. It's not Thursday. Two nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into this.
Yeah. Jay Lethal defeated Orange Cassidy.
Very good.
Great match. Lethal looks like he's getting like real big. You know, he's getting like TV. This is Jay Lethal's first time on like quote unquote like real TV.
National TV, yeah.
Like national TV. He's getting big, man. He's getting like that TV bod.
He was on Spike TV.
That's right.
Yeah. He was on. It's funny, right? We forget the numbers that show used to do.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the millions.
You had the Undisputed Elite segment. You saw this turn happening a mile away.
Yeah.
Good job with it, though. Yeah, absolutely. Great job with it. Adam Cole and Red Dragon turn on the Bucks. Adam Page makes the save with a pipe. Do we get the return of the Hung Bucks, Andrew?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they're going to attack him and something's going to happen or someone else is going to go in a feud. Maybe this is the backup for Kenny. You know, they want to start it now and see if Kenny could do it. If Kenny could do it, then freaking great. Then you put Kenny in it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Adam Page Kenny Omega feud, it was already set to happen.
Yes.
So if they do that trios match and they win that trios title, now you created the program between Adam Page and Kenny Omega, which is a great program to be in.
Yeah.
You know, on his way back, you could do that. I'm excited for that.
Well, here's another fantasy booking idea, right? The Bucks and Hangman team up as the Hung Bucks again. They win that trios title.
Yeah.
Right? Kenny comes back. He's like, hey, I'm gone for a year or whatever, and you're teaming up with this guy? Like, total heel move, right?
Yeah.
So now you have face Young Bucks with babyface Adam Page, Kenny Omega returning as a heel, and Kenny Omega has to team up with two other dudes. Who are they going to be?
Oh, man. Heels?
Or just people on Kenny's side?
I don't know. That's a great question. Who would you do?
I would say if Kota Ibushi is relatively close to being healthy.
His shoulder's too bad.
Yeah, which is a shame. And I wouldn't know about the other one.
Yeah, I think there's only one way here, and it's him. It's him teaming with the Bucks, whatever they do. So I don't know how they're going to get Hangman out of it.
Do they turn on Hangman again?
No, because you got to bring them as baby faces. They're total baby faces, so you can't turn them. I don't like a double turn like that. Like, I don't like a turn and then you turn back the following week. Interesting. I'm curious. Maybe Kenny can't do it. Maybe that's the story here. Maybe Kenny cannot. He won't be ready. We'll find out.
Oh, Pugzilla says, why not Gallows and Anderson?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Too. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That works. That makes a lot of sense, you know. Yeah. Or Jay White and another dude.
Yeah, that works too.
Bring back the Blood Club stuff.
Dr. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter defeated Thunderstorm. Cute. Yeah. Very cute.
Are you just realizing that now?
I'm just realizing that now. Very cute. It's Tony Storm and Thunder Rosa. I love this match, by the way.
Great match.
I just want to say, did Tony send a memo to everybody? You know, I'm big with these memos. You know that, right?
Huge.
I'm big with memos.
You're
big in the memo community. Did he send out a memo telling people just beat the shit out of each other all night?
I think so,
that's
man.
What it was. Everybody was hitting each other so freaking hard. I mean, everything was snug. It looked great, especially in this match. Jamie Hayter and Thunder Rosa were beating the shit out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point that Jamie got kicked in the throat.
Oh my God.
And like the next spot, I mean, she laid it in a little bit. And that, you know, I thought Tony Storm looked great. I thought this was a very good match. This was the best that Britt Baker's looked in a very long time. Jamie Hayter is really becoming something good for them. I was really into this, man. Yeah. I thought it was a great showcase, and the showcase was all Jamie Hayter.
Same here. Yeah, absolutely. Who do you think turns on who? Toni Storm or Thunder Rosa?
You know, turning Thunder Rosa heel is not a bad thing.
I agree with that. I think that's the smart move because after winning that title, I feel like the crowd kind of turned on her.
Yeah, and I, you know what? Some of it is very unfair stuff. I mean, she was wearing a shirt that said Sandbag, right? When she came out. Some of that is unfair. Like, I've not heard that Thunder Rosa is like, I don't know. Listen, depending on who you talk to, but I think she's a very talented performer. I think Toni Storm is very talented. You know, sometimes you just have bad moments and you have bad matches. And sometimes, you know, you're on a decline in some sort. Something's in your head. A lot of things happen. I haven't been able to perform in weeks. Look at me.
Your legs.
Oh, my traps are getting big, dude. My traps are getting big. I'm just doing these. This is the only workout that I do. This is it.
Well, you told me the other day. You said, "Hey, man, I got the biggest HGH shipment of my life."
Yeah.
And I can't wait to inject it into my eyebrows.
Yeah, I just want my eyebrows to grow. I want to. You know, I can eventually morph into the guy from Schitt's Creek. What's his name? With the eyebrows?
Oh, David? Yeah, absolutely.
No, not David. David's father.
Oh, Eugene Levy?
Yeah, Eugene Levy. I could turn into Eugene Levy.
Well, that's David. Also, you know.
I love that show, by the way. Fantastic.
Great show.
Yeah.
Great show.
Great show. Everybody involved.
Great show.
This was a nice package for Jamie Hayter. They have, you know, they're doing a good job with her. Video package for Tay and Sammy's wedding interrupted by Eddie Kingston. I'm so grossed out by these two. I love it. Like, in a good way. I'm grossed out by them in a good way. It's getting the point across. Eddie Kingston challenged Sammy at All Out. All right, cool. Taz announced, no more Team Taz, bro. I don't know what's going on. Listen, I was in Massapequa. I had to go to my neurologist's office, Dr. Ferrugia, on Grand Avenue by the firehouse. And you know what? I thought of my car. I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not doing this Team Taz stuff. That's what he said.
He was just like, I'm donezo, sonzo.
I'm donezo. By the way, I love Massapequa. Was a very nice town. Very much like Massapequa Park.
Listen, so
Team Taz is no more. Powerhouse Hobbs defeated Ren Jones.
But wouldn't you have liked to have seen a trio team of Hobbs, Starks, and Hook?
I want to see Taz in the mix.
Ooh, I'm back, baby.
I'm back, baby. I told the story one time. I was at the Wrestling Universe, and Taz was doing an autograph signing, and I was outside. And there were these, like, idiots roughhousing, and he came out, and he yelled at everybody, and he yelled at me.
He was like, you're not trained. Don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. Don't do drugs.
I can't remember what it was, but he was like, I'm not signing any... You know, he did one of those.
Wow.
Like, he got mad. I think some people are being jerks, too.
I think he's so fantastic on commentary.
This was 20 years ago.
I think 25 years ago. Maybe in a certain respect, this is a better move because now he can be Taz on commentary and not Taz on commentary plus heel leader Taz, you know? I think we're going to get the return of Team Taz at some point.
You know who else yelled once?
Who
yelled at me? Benito.
Benito.
Benito. What was the name? Benito Girardi.
Benito. I think. Whatever. I can't remember that far back.
In 1950, he yelled at me.
What are you doing?
Let's see. Where were we? Powerhouse Hobbs defeated Red Jones in a squash match. Ricky Starks tried to attack Hobbs, but he was beat up. He got spine bustered into another planet. Let's go into this. This was fun. Christian Cage defeated Matt Hardy. All right. After that, Luchasaurus popped up as a distraction. Jungle Boy attacked Christian. Christian got away. He also tried to run him over.
Yeah.
Jungle Boy. And what was the shirt he was wearing? Christian's a P word?
Yes. Which is very interesting.
The P word's like back on wrestling.
The P word's back on wrestling, and I like this version of Jungle Boy, just like a rampant psychopath.
Yeah, I'm into this. All right,
I do think Christian will go back to WWE though.
Eventually, yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I think one last tag team title run with Edge.
Oh yeah, Edge is there. Well, they could do something. Christian could. I mean, didn't they not want Christian to wrestle? Wasn't that the deal?
Right, but listen, Triple H, new stuff.
New stuff. All right,
let's go.
Cool.
Let's go.
Now it is the dumpster match. You know, I put out a tweet. I'm like, is this the first time since 1998 we've seen a dumpster match? They've been having dumpster matches in WWE this entire time. I had no idea. I think the last one was like 2005. Right. I'm like, what? I don't remember this many dumpster matches.
A lot of dumpster matches.
The Acclaimed, Max Caster and Anthony Bowen. I absolutely love these guys. Max Caster 100%. Had a great... Can I be an older white man right now?
Sure.
Max Caster with the rap lyrics of the night. He's a wonderful rapper. That's what the kids say.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
My favorite rapper of all time?
Didn't you say that you would vote for Obama for a third time if you could?
I vote for Obama a third time if I could. That's our line, by the way. When we hey, don't look at me. I could have voted for him for a third time. I heard a man screaming that. He yelled at some girl on the bus. And that was his response when people started pointing a finger at him. Don't look at me. I would have voted for him a third time.
You're such a liar. You don't take the bus.
I don't take the bus. I haven't taken the bus since 1997.
I know. I feel like I'm the last dude in the neighborhood that still takes the bus.
I was in Manhattan and I was walking with one of my buddies. This is like 2 years ago, and he's like, "No, mm-hmm. We were going to Penn." He's like, "The bus is here. Let's take the bus." I'm like, "Are you crazy? I am not getting on the bus with my Louboutins." All right, lunatic.
That in and of itself is a wild statement. I'm not getting on the bus in my Louboutins. Who are you? Sometimes I wonder about that.
You know, sometimes I am that person.
Who is Andrew Zarian?
Are you kidding me? My red bottoms on public transportation? This match, what did you think of it? It was whatever.
It was fun. You know, it was fun. I feel like it's always fun when you see gigantic Billy Gunn on screen. It's like watching a Godzilla movie.
It is like watching a Godzilla movie. Bowen featured Vince McMahon in his lyrics. After they pushed the dumpster off the stage, the lid flew open. It looked really scary, so I hope they're fine. Which I expect them to be fine, but they did the spot, pushing the dumpster off the stage, and the Ass Boys are now in the center of the earth. All right. Interim AEW Championship Eliminator, Chris Jericho, 2.0 defeated Wheeler Yuta. Jericho beat him with a lion tamer.
Yep.
All right. We're going to see it next week. We're getting it. Right?
Very cool. Yeah.
We're getting it. We are getting Chris Jericho, Lionheart Chris Jericho versus John Moxley. Also, they also announced Mance Warner and John Moxley. Did you see that, Rich?
Yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
We had booked Mance Warner for Catalyst Wrestling the day before he broke his leg or whatever he did. So we never got to use him. But very talented.
Yeah, very talented. I kind of want Mox to carry on that trend that Cody did a few years ago, where maybe once every couple of weeks, he'll take on somebody from like the quote unquote indies, you know, like Mance Warner at some point, maybe Effie at another point, you know. Like, who else is out there that hasn't been signed?
I don't know if Mance Warner signed. Because I know that he was doing some work in MLW, so.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, who else is out there in, like, let's say, like, GCW or MLW or, real indies that has a fan following that hasn't been on, like, AEW or Impact? You know?
That's a great question. Someone in the chat will know.
I'd like to see a Mox Nick Gage on AEW TV.
Oh my! I don't want to see it.
Now you don't want to see the pizza. Slices in their hands.
Mance is a hardcore guy too. I mean, I don't know. You know what? I do want to see it. I want to see all of it. It's all very cool to me.
You know what I want to see? I want to see John Moxley in the first ever knife fight on AEW TV.
John Moxley, like a West Side Stories thing. I want to see them do a West Side Stories thing.
Without the dancing, but like, you know.
No, I want the dancing.
Would you be, I know you don't really like the hardcore stuff, but would you be into that? Would you be like, yeah, they're doing a fucking knife fight on TV?
I got to tell you, I don't like even Drew McIntyre's sword. I hate that shit.
Sharp things make you uncomfortable.
Yeah. I don't like it. I think it's ridiculous. Like, you're not going to use the sword. You're not going to kill this man. We know you're not that crazy of a person. I'm not.
Listen, to each his own. If you get off on the hardcore light tubes and all that stuff, that's great. There is a place for it. I've seen it done really well, but most of the time it's not done really well.
Yeah, it's just gross and it looks painful.
And it's just gross and painful and blood everywhere. No teeth, blood. You know, I've seen a ton of really bad death matches that even like the new ones now, I'm like, ugh, you know?
But even, you know, what's interesting, it's pro wrestling. You know, we always talk about how pro wrestling is absolute lunacy. Where, like, think about Triple H coming out with that sledgehammer, which he used completely wrong every single time.
Every time. That man, like, had no clue how to use a sledgehammer.
Like, who puts their hand on top of the hammer part?
This is what he would do.
Yeah.
My shorts are very short, by the way, today. Do you see them?
Yeah, I see
them. They're not that short. They're just hiked up a little bit. All right.
I think, but that's your thing, though.
That is my thing. I like to show my legs. I'm like Tina Turner.
Listen, that OnlyFans is coming.
Dancing for money.
I went out to brunch with a buddy of mine a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, listen, OnlyFans for Andrew and I might be on the table.
It might be on the table.
Nothing nude, but, you know, maybe just some lewd beach cake. And then my buddy's answer cracked me up. He goes, why would I pay for that? I've been getting it for the past 20 years.
All right.
True enough.
AEW Rampage is live tonight. And then we also have Battle of the Belts 3 on Saturday. Interim AEW World Championship Eliminator. John Moxley versus Mance Warner. Madison Rayne debuts.
Cool.
Friday Night Street Fight. Swerve in Our Glory versus Tony Nese and Josh Woods. You know what? Not a bad. I'm going to watch this.
Same here.
I'll watch this tonight. For sure. I'll watch. And listen, they got to do something because that rating last week was total shite. Not good. 300 and something thousand, 386 or whatever it was. Battle of the Belts 3, Ring of Honor World Champion Claudio against Takeshita. Did I say it right? Takeshita?
Yeah, you said it right.
Okay, good. For once, thank you. AEW, I'm always good with the Japanese last name. I don't know what happened to me the last couple of weeks. I'm so sorry, guys. My brain has been totally broken. AEW Women's World Championship, Thunder Rosa and Jamie Hayter. TNT Championship, Wardlow and Jay Lethal. That's what we have so far here. You know what? Makes sense, right? All title defenses, right? They are the battle of the belts. So perfectly done. And by the way, can't you do a 7 o'clock time slot? Can't they do like a Saturday at 7 o'clock for Ring of Honor?
I would
on TBS
that.
Or TNT. Why can't they do that?
Would love it. Or you know what? I'd even go so far as to say, like, why not Saturday at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, you know?
Yeah, they could do it. I mean, it's a fun little thing. They don't have to do a million people for that show at all. AEW Quake by the Lake. I hate the name. 8:10. Coffin Match. Darby Allin, Brody King. Tornado Tag. Lucha Bros. Versus Russian Andrade. Jade Cargill, TBS Championship Open Challenge. Interim AEW World Champion. John Moxley versus Chris Jericho.
Great.
The G1 is happening.
Do you want to just go into who's in the lead and then do questions?
Well, when is the last night?
I don't think we're getting that for another couple of weeks.
No, I think it's done.
Are you sure?
I think so. Let me see here.
I have not been keeping up with it, but usually what I do with the G1 is I will take a full day and just watch what I need to watch.
Is this it? Hold on. Let's see. No, it goes till August 18th.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have another week. Yeah. Another couple weeks. You're absolutely right. I'm so sorry, Rich. I will never doubt you again. I thought we were approaching the end of this.
Good.
Okada's in the lead in the A block. Rich, you're always right. I tell you when you're right.
Thank you.
Okada, 6 points. Bad Luck Fale, 4. Jeff Cobb, 4. I'm just going to do the top 3. B block, Jay White, 6. Sonata, 4. Tamatanga, 4. C block, Zack Sabre Jr., 4. Goto, 4. Tanahashi, 4. Who do you think takes it? Oh, there's a D block also. I forgot.
Yep.
David Finley, 6. Will Ospreay, 4. Juice Robinson, 2. Who takes this?
Honestly, like, I wouldn't mind Jay White winning the G1 and then another challenger shows up. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, you could do. I mean, you could do that.
Yeah, Jay White wins. Do you want to see Jay White Okada at Wrestle Kingdom again? I would like to see them headlining the G1 finals.
I don't know. Do you do that match again? I don't know. Maybe Zack Sabre Jr. wins. Maybe it's Zack Sabre Jr. Okada.
That'd be a lot of fun.
You could do something fun here. You could do something fun for sure.
So those you guys want to do? You want to do some questions?
Let's do some questions, boys and girls. Submit your questions in our chat room. Use the hashtag AskMattMen. You could also submit it on social media. You can submit it on Twitch. You can submit it on YouTube. Submit your questions.
Guys, also, if you want your question answered ahead of everybody's question, don't be a joker. Why don't you super chat? Don't be a joker. Super chat us a little bit. We'll answer your question immediately. Any amount is fine if it's over $100.
Great.
Thanks, guys. So let's start here. We got a super chat from Shreyer Hashemi. What is your opinion on the changes at Discovery Warner Media and how will it affect the AEW renewal?
Ah, so I know, Rich, you're into this stuff for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So they are chopping things that are already produced, things that are on production, yep. things that have yep. already been produced. Like, they are chopping everything on both sides, Discovery and HBO. They announced that by 2023, they're going to merge into one network, which they should.
Yeah.
Which that makes the most sense. But there will be casualties here.
Yes, absolutely. The HBO Max thing, I think it's a little too early to judge, but the rumor going around is that HBO Max is going to get absorbed into Discovery. I don't like that at all as a fan, because I think HBO Max is the best streaming service that you can get.
I think it is a great platform. Now, I would imagine that they would still use that technology, because I don't know. I don't have Discovery Plus. Do you?
I think we have it in some kind of package, but don't you? I honestly think we have everything in some capacity with some kind of package that we don't use.
Okay, got it. I don't have Discovery. I have HBO, HBO Max, but I like the interface for HBO Max. I don't know what a lot of people think. Like, well, what does this mean for AEW? Are they going to get canceled? I don't see that happening. I don't see AEW get canceled because their first run live sports programming, which is a very rare thing to have.
Exactly.
52 weeks out of the year where you have a content provider creating new content to your channel. If AEW was not on TBS, that station would be far behind in the numbers. Same thing goes for USA, by the way, with WWE. The station would be far behind in numbers. I don't think this is going to have a big effect with renewal, but it mm-hmm. might have an effect with what they would get for that renewal.
For sure.
I don't, you know, that's the speculation. I haven't heard anything that they're in danger or anything like that. But you gotta, you know, a lot of people think that a lot of the original programming is going to get cut and it just TBS is going to become a repeat channel, which they are that, to be honest.
Right.
They're not going to get rid of live sports, I'll tell you that. That's not happening. So I think for AEW's case, because they are first run live sport programming, they're okay.
I think so, too. I think they historically have over-delivered.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got another one from Shreyer. We're just going down the list of super chats here. Where in the world is MJF? Is this an angle, and how would you book him to return to AEW?
I have no idea. There has been no word on what's going on. Everybody's been very, very quiet. I think Sean on Fightful Select put out an update. Saying, I think the same thing yesterday. Really, there's not much going on. There's no communication about it.
Now, if this breakdown in communication is legitimate and not a work, do you see an injured Cody talking to Triple H and saying, hey, listen, if this guy gets out of his contract, you need to hire him?
Yeah, 100%. I know WWE is interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told firsthand.
Now with this burgeoning version of WWE creative, do you think it's not a long shot that this guy could get on the microphone a little less scripted than the other superstars?
I think he'll have a lot of freedom now, way more than he would have had under Vince if he went there.
Mm-hmm. Do you see him? Would you see him on the main roster or immediately become NXT champion?
Main roster immediately. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you get an act like that, you cannot in any way tell people that this NXT, no, he would never be there.
Mm-hmm.
He would never be in that NXT. I can't imagine it. But, you know, main roster, show up, attack Cody, cost Cody the world title. Oh, my God. I mean, not going to happen, right? Because Cody has, this guy has 2 more years on his contract.
Great fantasy booking.
Great fantasy booking, yeah.
Let's see. We got one from friend of the show, Brandon Edwards, $20. Thank you.
Yeah.
Isn't it more likely that someone gets hot like Brian and Kofi did to take the title off Roman? I guess take the title off Roman and then wait for Cody. So you'll get like an interim.
I mean, maybe, but who? I think Brian more than Kofi, right? Because Brian was working to it a little bit, right? Brian already had a world title.
Yeah.
Kofi was the one that came out of nowhere. Yeah. He was a replacement of a replacement, and it just blew up. I don't see them doing that with Roman, to be honest. I don't see it being a fluke defeat onto Roman. Maybe that is what they do. It's a fluke win for whoever beats him.
You know what the interesting thing about Roman is, I think people on both sides of fandom still like cheer for the dude. You know what I mean? Like, even though he is the biggest heel in the company, he is a cool heel.
Yeah.
Right? And and he's very likable too. And I think when you get past this bloodline stuff and him losing the title and he becomes the babyface to chase that title, it's going to be even bigger for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm into it. Let's see. $5 from Kyle Masters. Thank you, Kyle. Late to the party. What's up, boys? Hope you are both doing great.
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing excellent.
Same wonderful here. Day. Next one from Dalen Prada, 279. Andrew, start doing Cameo.
This isn't the first time this has been said to me. I feel very uncomfortable asking for money. You know what I mean?
On Cameo. What if we did a package deal where it was you and me, $6, we do a 2-minute video?
I don't know. It's just like it's not like, hey Jimmy, happy birthday. Your wife called and your wife said that, go Raiders. But you're not a Raiders fan. You're a Giants fan. So go Raiders, man. That's what a cameo. Well, that's all the cameos I see. I find them very. I don't know. I think if you're like a celebrity, then it's cool. Who wants a cameo from me?
I think the thing that about Cameo that's interesting is that you can send somebody a script of what to say. And that person has to kind of say it, otherwise they'll get some heat for it, right? There's a couple of cool people out there. I wouldn't recommend spending money on like getting it, but a few years ago I went down that Cameo rabbit hole of like who's on Cameo, you know?
Yeah, we did. And do I'm that,
like,
yeah.
yo, Malcolm McDowell, if I was telling my wife, I'm like, don't get this for my birthday, but if somebody got a Malcolm McDowell Cameo for me where he does lines from Clockwork Orange, I would be over the moon, you know? But at the same time, the dude who sings Earth Angel from Back to the Future arguably has the best cameo because that's all he does. He'll be like, hey, happy birthday, Lisa, because your husband Brad said you're his, and then he goes into the song.
I think it's cool for some people. I'm not a celebrity, just a fucking guy that talks about wrestling. I'm not Butch Patrick to do a cameo. You don't want an Eddie Munster?
Like Eddie Munster?
Yeah. I want a Butch Patrick. Yeah, Butch Patrick's on there. I guarantee you Butch Patrick is on Cameo. Has to be.
You know what I'd like to see? I want you to do Cameo, but only as Dr. Fauci.
Hey, it's me, Dr. Fauci. It's your birthday. You're having a party at your house. How many people are coming? I don't know. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Who cares anymore? Nobody knows. I'm going back to the center of the earth. And he just goes down. Jimmy Hart's there.
Who was the original cameo? The that weather forecaster, right? Who used to shout out people on their birthdays?
I
forgot his name.
Casey Kasem.
No, it wasn't Casey Kasem. Casey Kasem.
The birthday. Casey Kasem would do the dog, the birthday, and the dog.
He would do it. All right. Moving on. Cadillac Carson, $5. Thank you, sir. How do you think Triple H will affect the sociology in the wrestling in WWE?
Triple H has great sociology.
Can we let Mr. Gonzo answer this one?
Yeah. Gonzo, answer this.
Gonzo, did you fall asleep or are you still there?
I'm asleep.
That hand is moving really fast under that desk, I'll tell you. I don't know what's going on.
He's edging everybody. Can you answer that question?
I think Triple H has excellent sociology.
Thank you so much, MJ.
He will be great.
Thank you. Thank you. Our producer, everybody.
What a meaty and well worded answer, Mr. Gonzo.
Yeah, great. I think he'll do great. Thank you. All right, what else do we have?
That's why we pay you the notebooks. let's see. This is from Sexy Chewbacca 969 on Twitch. What are the odds of Enchante debuting in WWE now that Vince is gone?
Oh, no, it won't ever happen now. All those characters are gone.
Would you consider Enchante an Attitude Era character?
Enchante is androgynous. I think by today's standards, he's very... very modern. Very modern.
Can I fantasy book something for you?
Yes, please.
Goldust, at the height of his androgyny, when he was getting booed out of the building.
Winning the world title?
No. All of a sudden, Enchante debuts, and Enchante is like, if you think you're you, check this out. And it's like whatever Goldust was times like 1,000.
Oh man, it's too much. Too much. Too much.
let's see. This is from Dylan Prada. Who are some AEW wrestlers who you think will jump ship to WWE when their contracts are done now that Triple H is in charge?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of the like middle names that are not getting TV time. That would probably go over there. MJF, maybe some of the guys that went over there already that would possibly go back. I don't know. It depends on your comfort level. It depends on where you are in life at that moment. There's so many different variables that come into play. I don't know. I think there's a bunch of guys that would want to go there. At the end of the day, listen, WWE is still WWE at the end of the day for people.
Yes.
Still the New York Yankees.
100%.
By the way, how about those Mets, huh?
How about those Mets, man? Finally, I don't want to go to a game because I feel like I would jinx it. But the last game I went to, they won.
Good.
After, I think, 10 or 11 innings. This is from Z Ryder on Twitch. Perhaps the real Zack Ryder. I personally believe that Cody caused the momentum to shift in WWE when he left AEW. Do you agree or disagree and why?
I think so. I think for sure Cody changed a little bit of that momentum. And it kind of, you know, it was Cody, it was Vince leaving, it was Hunter coming back, it was Steph coming in. There was a lot of things shifting in WWE. I would say definitely Cody was a catalyst to a lot of it, but not all connected, you know, it's none of it is connected, but I think that was the first time. I think for AEW, that was the first time you're like, whoa, wait a minute. This guy started this company and he's leaving.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think, did he cause a momentum shift to WWE? I'm going to say no. But I think it was a really cool move that they packaged him as the American Nightmare.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we have here. From Kuro Metariku. How much longer until Triple H changes the ropes?
Why are people so upset by the ropes? That's what I want to know. Why are people so invested in the ropes being certain colors?
I think all these people work for Big Rope. And
you
that
think
they're
so?
Trying to, I think they're trying to sell their ropes to you.
It's the electric tape company that they use. You know, that's what it is. You know what? I will. I hope he does no rope, just chains.
Ooh, dirty. That's like Mad Max style.
Yeah, chains.
Let's do a couple more questions and then wrap it up, Andrew.
Cool.
This is from Mexican Pissed Head. What's with AEW having TV specials every other week?
Yeah, they have listen, it kind of works, right? Maybe it works for them. Maybe they have some metric that shows like, well, people like names. Make everything into something. What do you think?
I like it. I really like it. I feel like it harkens back to like what WCW used to do.
Yeah,
you know, or even like WWE sometimes, where you had like Saturday Night Slam or whatever it was called.
Yeah, that's all right. Whatever.
Saturday Night Suplex.
I don't like the name. What is it? The Shake by the Lake? Whatever the
Quake by the Lake.
Great, whatever it is. I think it's a stupid name, but that's my opinion. You know.
Kyle Masters says, sent you a DM, Rich. I tried my best with it. If it's what I think it is, I will share it with the group, and then we will probably post it. So thank you, Kyle. Let's see. The Nerd Guru Gargano next week in Cleveland?
That's the question. I don't know. I don't know. Do you think? What do you think? Oh. Did Rich freeze? He went away. He went away. Look at that. He's a frozen boy. Rich is frozen.
We killed him.
I don't know what happened there. He lost internet, maybe? I don't know. I'm not getting a message from him. Anyway, you know what? We're going to wrap it up anyway. Do we have any more? Do you see any more questions while Rich is in the upside down?
A couple more.
All right, you want to fire him up, and I'll wrap it up.
Ah, what happened? Right.
There's a couple. Oh, you're back. There you are. Thank God.
Back. Like you froze. Like everything froze.
You're back. All right, let's do two more questions and we're out of here.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. BC Knight. What are the chances WWE opens forbidden doors now that Hunter and Steph are running things?
What are the chances WWE like opens it to who? You know?
AEW, New Japan, you know, Impact, who knows?
I think there's an opportunity for everything. I don't think they're going to dive headfirst. Like, would the WWE audience, like the majority audience, give a crap about New Japan? I don't think so.
I think they're aware, but not super aware. Let's take this one last question. You ready?
Yeah.
This is from friend of the show, Connor. Do you guys think we'll see some of the older guys get one more title run? AJ, Edge, or even Finn, or will Triple H focus more on the younger guys like Cody, Drew, and Big E?
I think AJ should get a title run. I think Edge 100% should get a title run. Goldberg
Finn
had...
too.
Yeah, I think Finn, the reality for Finn, definitely Drew is going to get it, and Cody will get it, and Big E will come back, hopefully. I think Edge 100% should have that title one more time.
I think so. I think AJ,
and I thought they were going to do it. I thought they would have done it already. But, you know, the pandemic happened, so didn't happen.
I'll agree with you. I think Finn is destined to have that title again because, you know what? I'm gonna add to what I said before about Ciampa being like the last Triple H guy, because Finn was like forever a Triple H guy. Yeah. And I think once this Judgment Day stuff wraps up, we're gonna see Finn doing cooler shit on TV.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we see cooler shit on TV.
What do you think? That's a wrap?
One more? Let's do one more.
All right, let's see. Oh, this is from the Kingsman on Twitter. Oh. Will the WWE and Universal Championship be split? Also, is there any news about this year's draft?
I believe the draft will be happening around the same time it happens. What is it, September, October? Right? I got to check. Let me just double check that before anybody says it. I got to check the date. I saw it somewhere. Somebody showed it to me. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I gotta dig in. But I would expect it to happen. But, you know, like, I don't like the draft. I don't like a hard draft. I think, or maybe not. You know, here's the thing. Before the Vince stuff that was happening, I was told that this is gonna, like, the split is a soft split where you're gonna have people go back and forth regularly. It's not gonna be this hard split anymore where people don't show up on either TV. If it makes sense, they're going to be on the show. I don't know how much the draft matters anymore.
Right.
Does it matter? I don't know. Is it, you know, I don't know what the current setup with the draft is, to be honest. Like, the split, I don't know. But I do, my problem is the split is a problem for me. I don't like the split.
Same here.
Especially when your roster's not deep. You know, sometimes it makes sense when you have a really deep roster. Other times, it's not that deep, so you need to kind of bring people in. The other side of the argument is, guys like that SmackDown 6 that they had, guys like that maybe would have not gotten over if the split had not happened.
Right.
It was out of necessity of creating stars. So I don't know what the right answer there is. I really don't.
You know, like, my prediction, Roman Reigns to NXT.
Oh my God.
Just dominates the men's and women's division.
Terrible. Just, like, terrible.
Murders everybody.
Bleed at. All right. Are we done? Bleed at.
Yeah, we're done.
All right. That's it, guys. Had a lot of fun with you here on a Friday. Rich, what are you doing today?
Today I am working from home for the rest of the day and trying to avoid the heat. It might go out a little later, but who knows what the future holds.
Love it. All right, guys, that's it for this week. I'll be back on Sunday, Wrestling Observer Live, back on Tuesday, where we're live, pal, and then next Friday we'll be back here with this show. That's it for this week, guys. Take care. Bye-bye. This is the best. Love it.